All righty. So we started last week and we were, I left my folder, that's all right. We started talking about separation. And I actually read what our church constitution says about separation. And then I also read the U.S. Constitution, the Second Amendment, where it says nothing about separation. So a lot of people comment on things, but they don't actually read them or research them or spend time on. And it's kind of funny. I was curious. So I think Brother Mike's downstairs teaching, but Brother Mike likes a lot of statistics and numbers. So depending on who you read and what you look at, I think it's anywhere from 89 to 100 and some million people watch the Super Bowl. Then, depending on what you read, the State of the Union we had was anywhere between 40-some to 50 million. So almost twice as many people watched a football game that, unless they bet some money on it or are owners of the team, not going to benefit them really any. Twice as many people watch that versus the State of the Union, which, no matter how you feel about different things, the guys in charge and all those people in that room are in charge of this country right now. The Lord's allowed it. That's going to affect your paycheck. Yep. That affects your kids, your school, your house, your roads. You know what I mean? The police, everything. It's sad, though. It's a sad state of affairs in America where more people are watching a game than they're watching what's going on that's going to affect them and their family personally. So, I was never much for politics. Well, you don't have to be much for politics, but it's common sense. You know what the speed limit is. And there's laws as Christians that if we don't like, there's nothing wrong with us voting or writing in or talking about. We're not supposed to be big protesters and cause problems. I agree with that. But it's funny. We separate ourselves from things that we want to separate from, and we don't separate from some other things. It's a choice for most people. So let's go ahead and read some Bible here and pray. Amen. We'll go back to Romans 1:1. Romans 1:1. So, all right, the Bible says in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you for this morning, God. I just ask you, please, to be with all the things that are going on, Lord. And as my brother said, Lord, help me keep my flesh down, Lord, and bring your spirit up, God. Please help everybody sitting in the pew out there, God, just to fight their flesh, God, and just to not grieve the Holy Spirit, Lord, and see what your word says, God. And it doesn't matter if we like it, God, or who says it, Lord. Truth is truth, God. If somebody we didn't like came in and said the building was on fire, Lord, we'd be smart. We'd run, Lord, or get others out, Lord. Please, God, just be with us this morning. Be with all that's said and done. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul says that he was called to be an apostle, and he was separated unto the gospel of God. So he left something and went to something else. I gave the definition of separate is to part, to be disunited, to be disconnected, to withdraw from each other. So separate. Now, I'm going to read these two clauses we have here in our church constitution. Number 11 is for ecclesiastical. It says, this is what Faith Baptist Church believes. We believe that the local church and every Christian in the local church should not affiliate with, aid, or abet apostasy in any form. This includes such movements as modernists, liberals, neo-orthodox, neo-evangelism, and the like, including all groups not in harmony with the Word of God. I would definitely check your Facebook friends on that, guys, to see. Section 12 of our Constitution, and what we believe, says separation personal. It says we believe that every Christian should be personally separated from the world unto God, that believers are in the world, but not of it, that the Christian is not to love the world or be conformed to it, that he is a pilgrim and a stranger here and should walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we went through some Bible verses last week about how as a church, as a group of people, as a body, we're supposed to separate from some things. And I didn't get a chance to say this, so we're just going to look at two verses here real quick to finish this off, and then we'll go to personal and how to fix it. So let's go to Nehemiah 9:2. Nehemiah is an Old Testament book. So Nehemiah chapter 9. It's right before Esther. Of course, can you get my glasses in my pocket? Nehemiah 9:2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their fathers. So here's a picture of Israel separating. They're getting away from some things. So the big issue with Israel and the Jews were they saw all the miracles and they saw the wondrous things God did, but they always messed up. And they went a-whoring after other idols, the Bible says. And they went to things of the world and things, you know, they saw on TV or things they saw on Facebook or things that their friends were telling them or things that made them feel good, and they got them away from God. And then all hell broke out on earth and Israel suffered because they got away from God. So people always say, don't leave church, you'll get in a mess. Don't leave church, get in a mess. And they're not saying this building does anything, but what they're saying is, if you're leaving church, you're probably getting away from God. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people in church that are away from God already. But the type is, the closer you stay to God, the easier things are going to be. The more you stay in your Bible, the easier things are going to be. Didn't say things are going to be perfect. If life was perfect here on earth, would we desire heaven? If we were given everything our heart desired, not what the Lord desired, but everything our flesh desired, we wouldn't even want heaven. We wouldn't care about heaven. We wouldn't think about heaven. So I don't understand as a Christian why we get upset. I know we're flesh and we all have bad days, but why we get upset when things on this earth don't go right and when things on the earth mess up and things on this filthy old planet, you know, don't go the way we want them to go, we get upset. Well, let's stop and think for a minute. Maybe God wants that because he doesn't want you to like it here. He wants you to desire heavenly things and wants you to think about what's going to happen in the future, where you're going to spend eternity. Because, guys, we're just passing through, amen. If you're saved, this is the worst you're going to ever have it. So get over it, amen. So let's go back to Leviticus. So that was Israel. Let's go back to Leviticus 22:2. So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It's the Old Testament. We'll go to chapter 22. Israel 22:2. And speak unto Aaron and his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. So separation is good. If you're doing right, you should separate from wrong. If you're doing wrong, don't be hanging around things that are right and try to act like you're right. It's simple. We've got Bible for it. Now, for some of those that just popped in, we spoke a minute ago that twice as many people watched the football game than they did the State of the Union. So we can tell as a country what our desire is. Our desire is for entertainment. Our desire is to feel good. Our desire is to sit there and fantasize that we're the overweight guy running with a pigskin that beat his wife, loved his girlfriend, and maybe killed one of his kids, and had the cockfighting, the pit bull fighting, and spit on somebody in an elevator, bash their face in. Whatever it is, we fantasize that they were that person. No, no, we don't want to be the bad one. We want to be the one running on the field, making hundreds of millions of dollars. When in reality, you just want the money. I don't want to run around on a field with a bunch of guys tackling me, and I don't want to be wearing tights either, amen? It's kind of weird. But and it's funny how tough they are with all the helmets and padding on, and how tough they are that you can't take the consequences of kneeling for the anthem, and the consequences you don't get hired anymore, and you cry about it. It's funny that they never sacrifice their money and their time. There's a couple of them, saved or lost, that put their money where their mouth is. I'd like to see some sports players that aren't on the news all the time. I'd like to see some sports players that are actually in the communities building rec centers and putting their money out and sacrificing. You know what I mean? Instead of showboating. It's like Christians. Hey, guys, I just went and handed out 15 tracts. Wow. Okay, why are you telling me? That's a blessing if you want encouragement, want me to pray with you. But shouldn't that be a normal thing as a Christian? When we're in the store, we hand out a tract to somebody, and we do this, we do this. Oh, hey, all the churches getting together. I'm going to go hand out tracts today with a church group. That's a blessing. Keep doing it. But what about when you go to the gas station, when you go to the grocery store, when you're at a family's house? Why can't you do it as a lifestyle, as a daily thing? Why does it always got to be, I can only do it in groups? Why is it we can only go door knocking Saturday morning? Why can't we go door knocking Monday night and you get home and you get home early and you got 10 minutes, go visit a couple neighbors or go visit some church folk that you haven't seen in a while? Why do we only have to do right on Sundays? It doesn't make sense. So we read what the church constitution says personally, that every Christian should be personally separated from the world unto God. It says that we're believers, we're in the world, but we're not of it. That Christians should not love the world or be conformed to it. That he's a pilgrim and stranger here, and we're not supposed to walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. So let's see what the Bible says. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to jump around a little bit. So something to think about as we turn to some of these scriptures here. If you were to go to KFC, you know, Ken's Fried Chicken or Kentucky Fried Chicken, if you were to go to KFC and complain, they serve a lot of chicken here. Do you not realize that's a stupid statement and a stupid thought? And I know I said stupid. It's a bad word. You watch a lot worse on TV. Don't worry about it. So the next thing is, can you imagine going to Salad Works, I guess that's the name of it, and being upset that there's a bunch of salad there and green stuff? Or going to a Chinese place and getting mad that there's Chinese food? Why is it Christians get bothered at church with Bible? Do you not realize Bible's supposed to be church? Church is supposed to be Bible. We're supposed to turn. I didn't learn my books of the Bible until sitting here for a few years with Pastor Ryman and Brother Rain and other people telling me to turn. And by the time I finally found the verse they were looking for, they'd already gone on four more verses. I got discouraged. But then I'm like, if these guys can do it, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. So we started learning. And then I learned something amazing, which I never learned in all my years of elementary school, middle school, high school, and a few years of college, that there's this page in the front of the book. It actually tells you all the books of the Bible. Some do it in order of how they are in the book. Others also do it alphabetic order, just for fun, I guess. But I did this crazy thing. And I was a big TV watcher back then, so I had to leave the news on while I was doing it. But I actually started looking at it. And I'd sit there and go, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I couldn't even say them, Leviticus. And I start saying them. And then in church, when I started turning to them, I started thinking, hey, I know what's next. I know what's next. See, I didn't have the luxury of having a junior church teacher teaching me a song or a Sunday school teacher teaching me a rhyme. And then I found out on top of that, there's even these little bookmarks you can get that have all the books of the Bible in order. And then even later, I found out they have these things called dummy tabs where you can actually tab them in your Bible. You don't have to know the books of the Bible. You can just read the initials or the abbreviation of it. So if you're having trouble turning the pages of your Bible, take some time and learn the books of the Bible, amen? I use mine as a briefcase, as you can see. So let's get back to Bible, amen? So 1 John 2:15, I'm in Peter, that's not going to work. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, and I know you know this, and a lot of you already turned it off, but let's see what the Bible says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So it's all going to burn one day, right? We don't have time to hit all those verses, but it clearly says here in our Bible, love not the world. Now, we're flesh. I like milkshakes and ice cream and things like that. And just because I like them doesn't mean they're right, amen. But that's my flesh. Let's go over to 1 John 5. Just a few pages over. We're in 1 John toward the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? It's amazing when you go out and you talk to people on the street, or you visit other churches, or people pass through here, and you get personal and talk to them, and they tell you their testimony, how they were in the world, and they had this drug, or this addiction, or this sin, whatever you want to call it. They had this issue, this love of something in the world, and they got saved, and they lost that desire. Now, I'm not saying everybody loses it the second they get saved, but I tell you one thing, I've met a lot of people that got saved and within a short period of time got victory over some things. Maybe they were feeding their spirit more than their flesh, because it's tough sometimes. You sit back and you watch people and like, why does that person live that way or dress that way or talk that way or act that way? And I just think they're not reading their Bible, because like I mentioned the preacher, this is our light. If Brother Joe and Sister April come to my house and, you know, do something crazy, I have my flashlight right here to see if it's right or wrong. Now, of course, I need to look in the mirror, 100% true. I need to check my own self out. But this tells me what I'm supposed to do and tells me what you're supposed to do. Now, if I'm not doing it, it's really not right for me to worry about what you're doing. I mean, I can still comment on it, but I should focus on myself. But at the same time, if I'm trying to do right, and my wife and daughter are in my house, I may need to make sure they know what the Bible says, so we all try to do right together. So it says here that Jesus, if he's in you, you can overcome the world if you want to. That's where it gets tough. Do you want to overcome the world? Do you want to put down the crack pipe? Do you want to turn the TV off? Do you want to stop the language? Do you want to stop looking at the pictures? Do you want to stop the anger and the bitterness? Do you want to stop those things? So let's go to Romans 8. Back up to Romans 8. And when you read your Bible, you're going to go through and you're going to be shocked. When I first read my Bible, probably 15 years ago or so, I was amazed when I was going through reading this that Jesus was not a long-haired, hippie queer, smoking pot, playing a guitar. That's not Jesus Christ. The world had given me this picture that Jesus was a sissy, and Jesus wasn't a man, and that Jesus was a, you know, a fruitcake liberal. But that's not Bible. That's what the world's done to twist it, to mess things up. That's not what my Bible says. And I'm not saying Jesus is a tyrant killing people. Jesus is, God is love, but there's judgment and justice there. There's grace and mercy. It's a perfect balance of things. And our flesh, some of us just want to focus on the love verses, so we don't get things right. Others of us just want to focus on the hard, angry verses, and we don't want to get things right. We need to have that balance. You got to go scripture with scripture, and you got to look at it and compare. So let's look at Romans 8, and we're going to read verse 35 on down. Romans 8, verse 35. Now, before I read this, I mentioned last week, separation, you know, build the wall and crime will fall. Separation is like a wall. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. We're at the zoo. You see the lions and tigers. You're glad there's a wall there. Remember, if there's not a wall there and it comes out, it may not get you, but it gets your child or your spouse or your friend, and you're watching them get ripped apart because there's no wall of separation there. It's a disgusting thing. If you really make it graphic, I like to make things graphic in my mind so I can, you know, get myself serious, that if I don't have a wall of separation from the world to my daughter, it's going to get her. If I don't have a wall of separation from this world to my wife, it's going to get her. And most importantly, if I don't have a wall of separation between this world and me, it's going to get me. And some of us don't care. Well, I don't care what happens to me. I'm saved. With an attitude like that, I question it. But if you are saved, you're going to stand before God one day, and you're going to be held accountable for what you've done since you've been saved. If you're not saved, you're going to hell. And I hate to say it that way, but you need to find out how to get to heaven, amen? So pay attention and listen, and maybe in the morning service you'll hear something as well. But the simple thing is, the world's a hard place. I remember doing loans years ago, and these kids would come out of school, and they'd be in their 20s, get done college, and they'd sit down to buy a house. And, well, we want to buy this, you know, $200,000 house. I'm like, you can't buy a house. Why not? That's not fair. Well, your credit stinks. You got no money. You can't even afford your car payments you got, your flashy stuff. You waste too much money on your clothes. I go through this whole list of things. Well, that's not fair. And I realized, talking to these kids, in school, every day of their life, they were given a participation trophy. Every day of their life, they were told everything's going to be the same for everybody. You don't have to bleed, sweat, or cry in the real world. They were fed this bunch of junk from their teachers, and even some of their parents, just to appease the kids and shut them up. They were told them, there's no walls, there's no barriers, and it's ridiculous. There is discrimination in the world. It's called your credit score. There's discrimination. It's called your income. You know what I mean? You make $40,000 a year. That's a decent income if you live like you make $40,000 a year. If you want to live like Bill Gates, then you're going to hate life and always have no money and not be able to pay your bills. So you have to make a decision. Now, of course, our flesh, we'd love to live like Bill Gates. But let me tell you, I've done a lot of loans for people that make seven figures, that make $1 million a year, and they're struggling check to check. And they're committing suicide, and they're getting high, and they're drinking, and they're molesting, and they're watching filth. They have the same thing. Because what I've learned is, as people make more money, they feed their flesh more. Their toys get more expensive. Their lusts are more expensive. So don't think money is the answer to your problems. I've been fortunate enough over the years to be on both spectrums. When I first got saved, I had made a decent living. And then the Lord had a sense of humor, and I got to lose it all. And still, I mean, the Lord's been good, amen. I wouldn't change any of it. But money doesn't make happiness. It might buy toys, but it's just like a drink. You're happy for seconds. And in the back of your mind, it's not what you want. You get a relationship with Jesus Christ, things look a lot better. You start separating yourself from the world some. You know, maybe I don't need that $95 super white t-shirt when I can go to Walmart and buy a 3-pack for $5. Maybe I don't need to go to the mall and buy those new designer socks for $30 because I can go on Amazon and get them for $3. It's crazy, though, but the world's telling us how to think, and we just go along with it. I'm just blind. So Romans 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God gives us a list. There's nothing that can separate you. Amen. I say there's one thing. There's only one thing that can keep my daughter from having a conversation with me. There's only one thing that can keep my daughter from talking to me. There's only one thing that can keep my daughter from listening to me. Her free will. God didn't make us a robot. He gave us free will. Volitional will, amen. He gave us a choice to decide. I remember going to preacher many a times over the years, murmuring and complaining, just getting angry at life and the world. And preacher, I wish I was a robot. I wish God would just control me so I wouldn't mess up, and control me so I would just do right. And preacher would hold his Bible up and say, here's the instructions, just follow them. If you're willing. The problem is we're not willing. We're willing to look at a verse because someone gives us a verse, maybe. But are we willing to look at that verse and say, hold on a minute, God, am I right with you? I dressed the part. I talked the part. I got the bookmark from the bookstore, and I know the books of the Bible with it. Am I right with you, God? Am I living right? That's our issue. So I believe the only wall between us and God is one we put up. It's our choice. So let's go to Proverbs 14. It's almost in the dead center of your Bible, most likely. Psalms, then Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. If you're doing your proverb a day, you'll be reading this in a few days. It is good advice. Pastor gave it years ago. You know, on the first of the month, you read Proverbs 1. Second of the month, Proverbs 2. Today's the 10th, you read Proverbs 10. Every day of the month. But what Pastor told me was, that's not your Bible reading. That's your proverb for the day. That's a little bit of wisdom. Still do your Bible reading. You know, 2, 3, 4 chapters a day, whatever it is, where you can read God's love letter and see what he thinks of you and what he wants you to do. So Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If any of you are flesh like me, when someone's up here preaching, your brain's going a million miles a minute, you're pulling your own verses out, you're bringing your own experiences and your thoughts. But something I have to tell myself is, sometimes what I think isn't right, because I think it's me, it's not Bible. Scripture with scripture, take it in context. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's go to Isaiah, just a few books over. Isaiah 59. Now, this is Sunday school. And I like either you go verse by verse through a book, or you pick a topic and you give some verses for it. And this is adult Sunday school mostly, so adults are expected that they're going to study on their own a little bit and go home and check some things out. I asked you what my wife made a comment. I don't know, Derek or I were joking or said something and about fencing or sword fighting. We said parlay or something, just being stupid. My wife said, do you even know what that means? And I waited till she wasn't looking and grabbed my phone real quick. And I asked, you know, Google God, what's parlay mean? And it's funny because I stopped and thought, you know what a minute? How many people will check things out on the internet to find out what they mean, but they won't check things out in the book to find out what they mean? Isn't that funny how we're brainwashed? I'm in the same boat, guys. I want that burger done in like 30 seconds. I want it hot. I want my fries hot. I want instant gratification. I don't like to wait. But what I've learned by watching people in the kitchen, my wife or Brother Derek or different people, Brother Ryan and Brother Dave and them, I don't want to say bleed and sweat in the kitchen, but when they put effort into making that food, I think it tastes so much better because they've put the effort into it. The information you get from Google can be fun or quick and maybe make you sound smart on your Facebook page or your little Twitter tweet thing you do. But if you actually spend some time and work on a road and figure out a path and you get to it, it sticks with you and it's real and it means something. It's amazing. So let's look at Isaiah 59. We're going to read the first two verses here. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Amen. People don't like it when it's personal. Let me tell you right now, most of the problems you have are your fault. Most of the problems you have with your spouse are your fault. Most problems you have with your kid or kids is your fault. But America doesn't want to do that. They don't want to admit the truth because America's got this I can't even say the word because it's such a stupid word. The precipitation trophy. Am I saying the word right? Participation. It's tough up here sometimes. My goodness. I don't even like the word. I can't. That's why. It's a bad word. I do. Pronunciation, enunciation, I know everything, bro. I should learn how to read. That would help a lot, too. Amen. So everyone thinks just because they're participating. You pop out a kid, you're a great parent. No. You get married, you're a great spouse. No. You grab a wrench, you're a great mechanic. No. It takes work. It takes time. You wear a stethoscope, you're a great doctor. No. Actually, there's only one great doctor, amen. But the problem is, we don't like to stop and think about our sin, what's between us and God, what's our wall. We have no problem seeing someone else's sin. And don't get me wrong, the pedophile action murderer shows up the door and wants to spend the night with you and your kids, say no. Judge him, say no. I don't care if you're right and you're perfect and holy and clean. Use your brain, judge him. There's nothing wrong with judging, that's Bible. But you can't let your heart get bitter and the world go fall apart because everyone else has problems when you've got your own problems you got to work on. You got to get your kids right, you got to get your house right. Maybe we don't allow cussing in my house unless it's on TV. We don't allow fornication and all that filth of the world in my house unless it's on the internet. You understand the sense that makes? It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why little Johnny and Sarah did what they did and why they left church and blah, blah, blah. What were they fed? They were fed that stuff all the time. I don't care where it's from, if it's TV, radio, movies. I mean, there's a limit, and good things in moderation aren't bad. Bad things, you don't even need to do. It doesn't matter if it's moderation or not, but we need to use our brain more. So let's go back to Romans. We're going to go to Romans chapter 5. And I know when I'm up here sometimes, a lot of you cringe and, you know, are praying for the rapture, which is a good thing because maybe you're saved. But having a daughter, I remember, I think she's actually back alive now, brought back from the dead. Before I got saved, there was this kid out there, Britney Spears, who was like supposed to be the pop star. And I'm lost and I'm a male. I tell you one thing, when I had a daughter, I got saved, and a year or so later I had a daughter, my perspective started to change on things and how I looked at people and what I thought. Because pastor would always say, you see a woman not dressed right, ask yourself, are they burning in hell? Are they going to burn in hell? How's that flesh going to look when it's all crispy and on fire and all charcoal and falling apart and they're screaming in torment? And you start, if you're saved and you have a desire to see other people saved, you start looking at people different. Now, I'm not saying you're not flesh and you can't mess up. That's why you got to be safe and do right. But our perspective when we get saved should change. And on top of that, Lord graced me with a child. And it made me start thinking different. That girl is somebody's daughter. That girl's got a daddy. And as a daddy, wow, now I'm looking like that's somebody's little girl. Your attitude starts to change because we have to separate from what we used to think and how we used to do. And it's a work sometimes. You can't just go through the drive-thru and get it. You got to spend time sometimes reading and praying and crying and talking to the Lord and counseling with your preacher. But you have to realize we need more separation in our churches. We need more separation to get away from the world and the things of this world. Romans chapter 5, I'm sorry. Lying behind the pulpit. It was inadvertent, but I still lied. Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 8. And most people, you know this verse. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, I better read that again, because that's, hold on a minute. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So it looks like there, before I got saved, I was an enemy to God. It looks like before I got things right with God, I was an enemy to God. But God is love. He doesn't have enemies, does he? He's got enemies. And he is love, but he's justice as well. It says right there, I was an enemy. I think we're not going to go there for sake of time, but you go to Ephesians, we were strangers and aliens, the Bible says. I know alien's a bad word now. My mom's an alien. Part Martian, part English, but she's a legal alien. I'm not against aliens. You know, I'm not against people from England or Africa or Mexico or, I guess not Canada either. I'm not against anybody really from other countries. But my family had to come over here the right way. You know, they had to marry an Air Force guy. They had to fill out the paperwork. They had to take a test, all these different things. I'm not against immigration at all. I love America for that reason. But the problem is people go crazy. They don't think we can't have any walls on a church. It would be a lot cooler in here right now. That might be okay. But it wouldn't be safe. We need to have walls sometimes. Amen? And it really stinks when I can see a bunch of people in the hallway out there, too, right through these windows. But I want to, trust me, but... That's my flesh. And Squeaky told me I can't bring it up today. Amen. So we're going to move on. So the biggest thing is, which you know this if you take some time, and it doesn't matter if I say it. If you look in your Bible and you read, you know the biggest problem with you is you. Yeah. It's not me. The biggest problem with me is me. Yeah. The biggest problem with me isn't Squeak. The biggest problem with me is me. And if we can get that in our heads, we can start seeing things different. Doesn't mean Squeak one day might be a problem. I mean, say, brother, this is a problem. We got to talk and pray about it. Doesn't mean that. I'm not saying that. But we need to realize first what our biggest problem is. So let's go to Romans 12. I have a picture of my dad right before he died. He lived with us. We had just gotten saved. We lived on Ken's Island. And it's the last picture I know of him being alive in my kitchen. And we were newly saved. And in the background is all this alcohol and all this filth. I don't even look at the picture anymore. It makes me sick. But what changed it wasn't Pastor Ryman telling me what I needed to do. It wasn't my cousin Ro harping on me or my sister Rebecca harping on me. What it was is my wife and I opening up a Bible, reading a couple chapters, and not knowing what we were reading, not understanding what we were reading. We didn't know anything about the book of Job. We didn't know anything about the different people in here, Paul and Saul. We got confused. But we'd come into a church and sit down. And after reading our Bible, pastor would get up here, or brother and I, or people would get up here and start preaching, and God would use them, and they'd say something, and we would look at each other and smile. We were just talking about that. We didn't know what it meant. We didn't know that there were these commentaries and internet things where you could cheat and, you know, get stuff all from online and other people versus from God. We were dumb. We just thought God had to give it to us. But God gave it to us. He gave it to us through the preaching. I remember Brother Ron, it must be with Sister Carla, but I remember Brother Ron getting up the first time and screaming in church. And I thought, what a stinking retard. Who does that? You don't do that in church. And now sometimes people think I'm loud in church. But I understand it now. Because it's the way to this world, you just want to let it out sometimes, or you get excited about something. If I can scream my head off in the old days at a football game or a baseball game or at my niece graduating or whatever it is, I can do it in church for God. Is it flesh? Sometimes it is. Preacher always used to say, yell on credit, scream on credit. Sometimes you don't feel like it, just do it anyway. Say amen. Praise God. If you don't feel like it, just do it. Amen. Amen. Especially during my teaching. Thanks, sis. Amen. So Romans 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to go ahead and look at verse 2 here. I actually love Romans 12. So this is a tough one. Romans. Now this is Bible, guys. This isn't me. This is Bible. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to read this again, but let's look at some definitions real quick. What's the word conform mean? Conform means to make like an external appearance, also to reduce to a like shape or form with something else. So we understand spiritually what it means. We're not spiritually supposed to desire the things of this world. But it's pretty simple, I'd say, with a second or third grade English and a dictionary, be not conformed to this world. Okay, the newest famous pop star gets glasses that have, you know, six feathers on one side and two squares on the other side. If you go out and get glasses like that, you're conforming to the world. I'm not saying glasses are bad. I know people, they used to preach against wire-rimmed glasses. The reason those preachers, if you read their papers, why they preached against certain things wasn't because somebody needed spectacles. It's because they were copying the local performers and entertainers, and they were copying the wicked people. You see some idiot dress wicked because you turn on some stupid Hollywood show, and you go out and dress like that, you're conforming. Yep. You're copying the world. The Bible says don't do that. You've got the newest hairstyle. You've got the newest this, newest that. That's conforming, guys. That's Bible. It's simple. Now, I'm not saying you're going to burn in hell if you're saved, but we're not supposed to do it. We're not supposed to follow the world. We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be peculiar and different. And we're supposed to be peculiar and different because we're separate. Doesn't mean we have to be an idiot, but it's okay to be different from the world. So it says right here in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world. It means don't be like the world. Make it simple. I'm not changing the Bible. I'm just summarizing it. The verse says, and be not conformed to this world. Next part. But be ye transformed. I'm going to stop right there. Transformed. Everyone's thinking of the cartoon or the movie, depending on how old you are. Transform means, well, Jay, it was after Jay Stein. They had a cartoon years later, Jay, and then they had a movie. So transform is to change the form of, to change a shape or appearance. So simple, in Webster's 1828 says this, when you're lost, you're a scrungy looking, ugly caterpillar going into a cocoon. It's disgusting looking, not the ones you might think are cute, whatever ones you think are the ugliest ones out there. So they're ugly and disgusting. You just want to step on them and see the green guts and walk away because you don't want them anywhere near you. That's the world. That's you when you were lost. When you're saved, you're supposed to be the butterfly. And what I understand is why a butterfly would wrap its wings all up and put on a white straight jacket like they were at a State of the Union and look all crazy and weird, and then want to act like an ugly old scary-looking caterpillar if you're a butterfly. Do you realize a butterfly isn't supposed to be a caterpillar? They produce little caterpillars, maybe, but they're not supposed to go back to being a caterpillar. And I'm sure you're going to find some Galapagos Island drawing that's going to argue with me. That's fine. The exception proves the rule. I'm still going to say you're wrong. But why would a butterfly want to go back? Why would a Christian want to go back? Now, if you're not saved and you hate Jesus Christ, or you think you're saved or act like you're saved and don't care about Jesus Christ, then get upset with what I'm saying, and I'll get over it. Because I really don't want you to spend eternity in hell. If you are saved, you're going to be judged, the Bible says. And it's pretty simple right here. And you can, when I witness to people and talk to people sometimes, if they've got an attitude, I'll tell them, look, you know, today's the 10th. It's 10 of 11. It's the 10th of February, 10 of 11. My name's Ken Dudley. The Lord's going to bring this to your remembrance one day when you stand before him. You've been told. That's what his word says. Don't say I didn't know. The truth is you didn't care. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So how am I transformed? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you want to do right? That's a problem. Do you want to do right? If you want to do right, stop conforming, and you got to get transformed. I don't know how to get transformed. It's hard. Let's look and see. What we're going to do is go to Ephesians chapter 5. We just got a couple verses here. And then we're going to finish this. So what we're going to do is, I read 11 and 12 about separating in our church constitution. Right before that, 12, 11, number 10 in our church constitution has the word sanctification. Faith Baptist Church, we believe that sanctification for the believer is immediate upon acceptance as Christ as Savior, and progressive, continuing to the end of earthly life. That the progressive phase of sanctification is carried on in the hearts of believers by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, especially the Word of God, self-examination, self-denial, watchfulness, and prayer. So what the Constitution and Bible tell us, and the Bible is more important, of course, but it's nice to have a set of rules. The Constitution tells us you're a caterpillar. You're a butterfly now. Some, I don't understand. Maybe their wings are stuck. Maybe they need some of the goo wiped off. But you're a butterfly. If you're not a butterfly, you're not. You either are or you aren't. And trust me, I don't want to be a butterfly, but it's just a type here, guys. It's a similitude. So I'd be a pretty butterfly. Thank you. That's a contrast there as a caterpillar or a butterfly. And remember, think of the ugly caterpillar and think of the pretty butterfly. There should be a difference there. And it's telling us here in our church constitution that spiritually you get saved, the change is made. You're already a butterfly. It might take a couple days, a couple weeks to clean some things up. It shouldn't take your whole Christian life, though. You got to make that decision. Either you want it or you don't. It's as simple as that. And if you want it, the Lord will give you victory. He's already given it to you. He says nothing can keep you from it but you. So Ephesians 5, verse 26. Ephesians 5, verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Let's jump back to Proverbs 4:23. I'm not going to have time. I got just one or two verses we'll hit. Proverbs 4:23. And the great thing is, I want you to like what I'm saying, but at the end of the day, I don't care. It's between you and God, because you're going to stand before God. And if you're so bitter and hard-headed, I don't know. I feel sorry for your family and your kids, because they're going to suffer. If that wall's not up and that lion or tiger's coming, you might think you're okay. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The problem is a lot of us have a wall around our heart. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. I know most of you can quote that, but let's turn there. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I know a pastor, and this young couple got saved in church. And him and his wife welcomed them. They were excited. They came to a couple services. Him and his wife are at the local, I don't know, Walmart or Boscov's or some store. And they see the couple going through the checkout line. They rush over just to say, hi, glad to see you guys. We'll see you on Sunday. And they're talking. And the young girl says, Pastor, I just want you to know I've been reading my Bible, and I just had this desire to change the way I dress. And he's like, whoa, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. I'm glad. He didn't knock her. He didn't tell her, oh, come as you are. God will take you. God worked on her. She thought the way she dressed wasn't Christian enough or conservative enough. So she made a choice through reading her Bible to make a change. He encouraged her and told her that was a blessing. That was awesome. She got it. The only thing I can think of why others of us don't get it is because we don't want it. How in the world can this girl out in the, you know, hollers, probably a fourth or fifth grade education, how can she figure that out by reading God's word unless it's God's word? I don't care what it is. If it's your food, your TV, your attitude, your spirit, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, we've got to start putting some walls up and try to be different than the world, even if we don't understand it. If some guy in the world comes out with something, even if I don't understand it, you can ask my wife and daughter, my first response is, I'm against it. I'd rather be against it and then a few weeks or a few months or a few years later be for it and change versus just going with everything and being for everything and accepting everything. And then after my family's torn apart because of all the filth and the sin, saying, oh man, it's too late now. So we don't have time. There's some other verses in Ephesians and Romans that go through talking about the Word of God. So the simple thing is, don't wait until you're in trouble to go to your Bible. People always talk about they have a chapter or a book or a verse when they were in trouble they went to. Start finding some books and some chapters and verses to keep you out of trouble. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. What's the verse for not drinking? What's the verse for not watching the filthy stuff? Watch the verse for how you dress. What's the verse for how you talk? What's the verse for how you sleep? They're in here. You just got to take your time and find them. Lord, I love you, Lord. I just thank you, God, for being so good to me, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to please help me to put more walls up in my life, Lord, and please keep filth and sin out of my life, God. How can I be a light if I'm covered in soot and ash, God? Help me to keep it clean. Help me to daily and hourly and every minute, Lord, just get right with you, Lord. Please, God, help people not to take things the wrong way. And, Lord, I believe we need to go out and be a light and witness to people and encourage people, Lord. And we need to help people to get saved, God. But I also believe what you said in your book, Lord. We were created for your pleasure. Leading someone to the Lord or handing out tracts can't be a replacement for living clean and being holy, God. It should be a result, God. Please, Lord, I've heard so many stories of lost people handing out tracts and lost people witnessing and preaching, God. Please help us to desire to be pleasurable for you, God, and to you. Help us to step away from the world a little bit, not care about our coworkers' thoughts of how we dress or how we speak or what we do, God. Help us to care about you. Help us not to be men pleasers, God. Just be with us the rest of this morning. Again, we love you and we thank you. I ask you to save that soul nearest to hell. Thank you for all you've done for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.